You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Daybell on trial for the death of, well, Lori Vallow's two children and his former wife, Tammy Daybell. It'll be very interesting to see exactly how this jury absorbs all of this information. It is a bit different than that of Lori Vallow, his wife, who was already convicted of these crimes last year. But how different is it going to be? Joining me to discuss, Eric Fardis, defense attorney and former prosecutor. We're looking at this. You got all the dynamics here of, Lori. And this is according to some of the documentation filed earlier when they were trying to get death taken off the table. Ultimately, that was not successful, but really did lay out kind of the direction that the defense is going to be going in this case, saying, you know, Lori was the ringleader here, and Alex and Chad, they were just kind of going along with it, and she had complete control. What kind of a defense is that? Really? We're not talking, hey, we're telling the teacher on the playground, you know, someone pushed me off the slide. You're fighting for a man's life.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, there are numerous statutorily enumerated defenses like self-defense or duress or choice of evils. And then sometimes when you don't have a strong one of those, you kind of create your own sort of way to try to influence and appeal to this jury. So the way that appears Chad Daybell is going to do that is really to blame Lori Vallow Daybell, say, hey, she's the monster you want and you already got her because she's convicted. Give this dude some leniency.
And is that going to go anywhere, I guess, is the question. The only other person that I guess could corroborate some of Chad's story would be Alex Cox, and he's kind of dead. Again, that's another whole conversation right there. Was that suicide? Was that murder? Was that just natural causes? We don't really know. But is that a boon to him, though? Is it a benefit to Chad Daybell that Alex Cox is dead?
It's a little hard to say. It's going to depend on kind of how they treat that issue at trial. And if the judge even lets them get into much of that, mm-hmm. There's a chance the judge says, hey, this Alex Cox portion of this is not directly relevant. Although, you know, certainly other people would disagree. So it's going to depend on how they're able to treat that. But in terms of the traction of this defense, it's not like a defense that's going to get somebody a complete acquittal or anything. It might garner some sympathy from the jury. Mm-hmm. But how far is it going to go? Not too far, man, I don't think.
And how strong of a defense is it? I mean, obviously, we're talking someone who's very likely going to be convicted here of the murder, but it's more so, is he going to get the death penalty? It seems the big argument they're trying to make is, look, the state already said that Lori was the ringleader, and they've already established that that's said and done. So to go back now and say that she wasn't I know they're going to say that she wasn't the ringleader, but she didn't get the death penalty. That's for sure. So they're saying it's not fair. Again, we're kind of going back to like playground antics here. This isn't fair. That Chad is going to get it because the state's already said that Lori was more culpable than Chad and Alex both in the deaths of these children. Does it really matter, though, if it's fair or not?
You know, folks would be surprised how much playground antics actually make their way into the courtroom. And so, you know, here, although it's not the strongest defense in terms of the guilt phase, it's not going to prove that he didn't do any of these things. On the penalty phase, it could have significant traction because on the penalty phase, the jury is ultimately deciding, what does this person deserve? What's the consequence that they're owed based off their behavior? And if the defense makes a compelling argument that Chad was sort of like swooned and seduced by Lori Vallow Daybell and under her spell and was kind of an ancillary pawn in this, that could spare his life.
But the fair argument, we had to look at why Lori didn't get the death penalty or why it was taken off the table. It wasn't taken off because of the merits of the case or because there was some sort of reasonable doubt and just in case we shouldn't kill her. It was a technicality. It was before the trial even started. It was, I don't remember the exact details. Maybe you do, but it was something with the attorney, something that could filed quite on time. It was something kind of minor, but enough where the judge said, we're taking death off the table now because of this. That's not the case here. And in all reality, it should have been on the table for her. But it got taken off because of that. So because of something, an error that took place in a completely different trial with completely different attorneys, should that then affect Chad getting the death penalty or not? Because it's not fair?
Yeah, you know, I think the defense at the penalty phase, because at the penalty phase, things are really opened up. There's less strict rules of evidence. The jury gets to hear a lot more. And so I think the defense is going to say, hey, regardless of the reason that Lori Vallow Dabel didn't get the death penalty, she didn't get it. And you can't not give it to her, but who is more culpable, and give it to my client who is less culpable. Just the outcome of that would be, would shock the conscience, and you can't do it. I think that's how the defense is going to play it.
If the two weren't related, though, if this wasn't, over the same deaths, if we're two completely different cases, they wouldn't be having that argument. Is it simply because they are connected in that sort of way that they can maybe try and make that argument? Because you can't go, well, so-and-so did this in their case and they didn't get death. And you can weigh it each way and go, well, and it doesn't always work out that way. It's just how our system works.
Totally. It's a great point. And I think the only reason that defense might be able to bring up this point in the penalty phase is because the Lori Vallow Dabel and Chad Dabel cases are so connected. They couldn't get up, if, for example, Koberger's attorneys in the death penalty phase couldn't get up and say, oh, the Aurora Theater shooting guy, he didn't get the death penalty and he killed 20 plus people. So don't give it to Koberger, who only killed 4. Usually you cannot do that. But here, I think that the defense has sort of something to hang their hat on in a way to admit that evidence to the jury during the penalty phase.
It's going to be fascinating to watch as Chad Dabel gets his moment in the spotlight.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.